I said in the first talk, there are two levels of understanding. And one is, you mentioned yourself, the book learning, which is a very good start. And many people...
Excuse me. Excuse me. What do you think is the first start?
What do I think is the
first start?
The first start?
What is it?
I think for many people, especially Westerners, we are used to learning from books.
From book.
Maybe it depends on the person, but I think Westerners are very intellectual. So it is quite possible that we can reach up to a certain level with a book. But it remains an understanding in the head.
In order to understand the words which represents reality, shall we talk about just one word at a time so that we'll have clear understanding of that word? Because now it's any reality.
No, I was going, this was the first
But we are not talking about you, we just talk about reality.
Yes.
Is that a reality now?
Is what a reality?
What is a reality now? Just one at a time.
Well, the universe is real,
right? No. When you talk about universe, what do you mean?
All the things, all the things that are moving.
That is your thinking, right? Is that your thinking?
Ma'am, there was one point in the starting about the meditation. Ma'am, according to you, what is meditation and what is not, ma'am?
If there is no understanding of meditation, would you like to do it?
No, ma'am.
So, first of all, there should be the understanding of what meditation is. What is it? And what is the purpose, the point of doing so?
Ma'am, when it comes to the, as a sense for the layman, most of the people think that meditation is some kind of a shortcut. Without understanding anything, they can directly go to the level of enlightenment.
So they just want to do in order to gain something, not understanding at all. Because they don't know from the very beginning what is meditation. So how can that person understand? Even meditation, what is it? Anyone just say anything and you just follow?
Like most people have got that kind of a perception that meditation is one part of the Buddhism.
Yes, but what did Buddha say?
Ma'am, Lord Buddha is saying about the realities, the understanding of realities at that particular moment. But people take a meditation as in another sense. They go for the vipassana and they go for the meditation.
So they do not know the teachings of the Buddha, which is all about now. And what meditation is, it's just realization, the truth. But actually, that is the translation from Pali, meditation. But I think that the word in Pali is bhavana.
Bhavana.
Yes, right? The origin word is bhavana. But people mistake the word. They think that bhavana is doing something like meditate or meditation. To what? To understand what? Nothing at all. Because they don't have the idea of what should be the object of meditation, because when we talk about the word meditate, we think a lot, investigate something like in order to know the truth of what the object is. But without understanding the object of bhavana, the development of understanding of what is real just at this moment. Because yesterday is gone, tomorrow hasn't come back, tomorrow has come yet. So what is now, can it be understood correctly as it is? No understanding of anything, just meditate. So it doesn't bring any understanding of whatever now. And now is not past moment, it's not future moment, it's just right now. And if there is no understanding of now, that is just thinking about whatever appears as something. And what did Buddha say? They have no idea at all.
But, ma'am, if we are not meditating, then how can we replace, how can we have got the replacing of self-centered illusions with the natural compassions, ma'am?
Where is the self now? That you'd like very much to eliminate the idea of self. But where is it now? In order to have understanding which can eliminate, gradually eliminate the wrong understanding of sound.
Then, ma'am, what? Okay, understanding at a particular moment can eliminate the self. And what about the ma'am?
Excuse me, just one at a time. Is the I yours now?
I mine now.
The eyes. Does it belong to you now, or is it yours?
Eyes are mine.
I is what?
Eyes having the. Eyes are, it's a sense, ma'am. It's sense.
What did Buddha say about the eye?
Ma'am, Buddha said about the eyes are that this is a sense through which its part is that the seeing is see.
Can the eye see?
No, ma'am.
Can that which appears see?
Pardon, ma'am?
That which now appears, can it see?
Yes, ma'am.
That which is experienced, which is seen, can that see?
No, ma'am.
No.
No.
So, what is seeing?
Seeing is the see, ma'am. It is the rupa.
The seeing, not that which is seen, but the seeing itself. Is that seeing now? Is that seeing now?
No, ma'am. sorry, ma'am. The seeing, yeah. Ma'am, the seeing is the absolute reality also.
There is seeing right now, for sure. We can ask anyone, do you see?
Of course, we see.
Yes, I see.
Sorry. But ma'am, when you are seeing, it means that you are seeing at that particular moment.
That is
you are
thinking.
Not thinking
that
about it.
That is thinking about seeing, not what did Buddha say about it at all. That's why in order to understand the truth, one knows that no one can have a clear understanding as the Buddha's enlightenment. That's why we listen to his word and begin to understand. Whatever is now cannot be known without the Buddha's word. For example, the eye, the seeing, and that which is seen, they are different. Mm. Without seeing, can anything be seen now?
No.
So, seeing sees what?
Object.
Rupa. What object?
Seeing sees visible object, Ajahn.
Or we can say that which is seen now. Seeing cannot see other thing else at all. But now, whatever is seen, the seeing itself sees no one at all. And when they're seeing, before seeing, can they be seeing?
No, ma'am.
So the seeing is the moment which is the same as the moment which arises before seeing. If seeing does not arise, can there be anything which is seen?
No, ma'am.
No. So seeing is that which experience, which knows what is there. Right, the sound. Without hearing, sound cannot appear at all. Can
yes.
anyone make sound appear without hearing? So it's hearing itself, which is not self, because it has arisen by its own proper conditions to arise and just to hear that sound, that particular one, which impinges on the ear base, the rupa, which can be the moment when seeing arises. That is there. Is that ear base now? At moment of hearing? Only at moment of hearing. Because everything is conditioned to arise. To be born, to hear, to see, and so on. No one at all. Without conditions, right condition, can anyone arise?
No, ma'am.
So does it belong to you, the seeing, which arises to see and falls away instantly, because moment of hearing is not the moment of seeing.
Ma'am, I got your point, but still the point is there, that there is meditation, and meditation, most of the people think about the meditation like in some kind of a different sense, that by the way of the meditation, they are making their mind
even
more wise.
Even if they meditate, they are seeing.
Yeah, ma'am, it is seeing.
But can there be understanding?
No, ma'am, it can't be understanding.
And while you go to meditation center and try to meditate there, what is the understanding of seeing now as it is? Or anywhere, anytime? Can anyone understand the seeing as yourself? as our reality, which no one can make it arise at all. As soon as it arises and see it falls away, it cannot last at all. Because the moment of thinking, there is no seeing, right? At moment of thinking, there is no seeing. Because what thinking experiences is object, which later on, it can be the object which is seen, or other objects. Like you think of idea.
So, ma'am, it means that if you are not understanding that particular moment, the meditation is going to increase your more illusions?
I think that without understanding what appears now, there cannot be meditation at all. See, what is the object of meditation?
Ma'am, concentration. Concentration.
Concentrate? What?
Concentration.
Concentration. Is there concentration now?
Yes, ma'am.
How do you know?
Ma'am, I'm hearing, I'm seeing.
Yes.
And
but
I'm thinking.
I'm talking about meditation.
Yeah.
Meditation.
Ma'am, I know that I'm understanding it. That is a thing.
Let's talk about meditation. What for?
What for, ma'am?
Why do you meditate? What for?
Ma'am, mostly we meditate for eliminating the for self, ma'am, for selfness, ma'am.
If you don't know where and when is the self, can you eliminate the idea of self?
No, ma'am.
So there must be the understanding from the very beginning to understand what is taken for self every time, every day, even right now. If you don't know what is made, what is taken for self, you cannot eliminate the self. But you know that at this moment, it's the idea of I see. Where's no I? Because at that moment, there's only seeing. And that which appears, which is the object of seeing. When we talk about citta, the experience, and cetasika, the nama, the reality which can experience, which is not citta, there are so many things unknown even right now. For example, what kind of reality is citta or seeing? What kind of reality is it, the seeing? There are many realities, and we just talk about seeing. It's a reality. So if we ask what kind, what type, what reality is seeing, if this is not clear, there is no meditation or what you call bhavana, the development of understanding. Exactly, it's not any kind of meditation, because what is the object of meditation is different from to understand whatever appears now. When we talk about concentration, does it appear?
No, ma'am.
So we just talk about what is real, is reality, it's different from seeing, it's a kind of that which is there. But you don't know when, until Buddha enlightened and he taught us about everything now to understand. Is this meditation to understand reality right now? Is this meditation?
Yes, ma'am.
No.
We want to understand that is also not a meditation.
Because you see that you think about it. No understanding of what it is at all.
Okay, ma'am.
So how can there be what you call meditation? But actually, if it's not the development of understanding whatever it is, should you develop any understanding? Or can you? Or that's wanting to meditate, not understanding what appears now. So we have to understand the Buddha's words beyond anyone's thinking. It's so true that the more you hear or listen to the teachings of the Buddha, the more understanding of what is not self. So at that very moment of understanding that that is a reality, not self, it's a moment of elimination of the idea of self, because you know where the self is. If you don't know, how can you eliminate the idea of self from that? Is the idea of self all day?
Yes, ma'am.
See, so there must be the understanding of whatever appears in the day in order to eliminate the idea of self from that particular object. If there is no understanding of seeing as it is, there is the idea of self there. And how can that be the eradication of the self? If there is no understanding of seeing just right now, at moment of seeing. So, seeing arises of seeing and falls away. What's there after? Ignorance.
Most of the time. Mm-hmm. Most of the times, the ignorance is there.
That's why it's so very subtle that without considering carefully, you misunderstand the teaching of the word of the Buddha. So now you know that it's useless when there is no understanding of whatever appears now. Because life exists only in a moment. If one moment is missing, no samsara, no life. The teachings of the Buddha brings about understanding three levels. The first level, just listening to the teachings and consider by yourself whether it's true or not. So if anyone does not listen to the teachings, how can that be the understanding of his great wisdom, which he didn't just think about things and taught people, but he realized the true nature of Dhamma as noble truth. So his teachings must be three levels. The first is intellectual understanding of each word. For example, Dhamma. We hear a lot about Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. No understand exactly what does mean. For example, Buddha. When you go, or anyone go to meditation center, who's the teacher?
Ma'am, this is a very good question. That who's the teacher there? Is he having the understanding? Is he capable of understanding that what are the true Buddha words and what it does it means?
No teachings on the words of the Buddha at all. Just talk. Just say that. Do this. Sit this. Walk like this. Mm-hmm. Very strange. Unnatural. Anytime I saw on the television, seeing the monk or anyone just walk slowly, that's unnatural. So it cannot be with understanding. It has to be with ignorance. What condition or motive such way of walking? Can it bring about understanding by just walking like that? Or sitting or concentrating on just the object that is told by the teacher? And who's that teacher?
I learned meditation just in the way you described it, by walking very slowly.
Yes,
and
please.
And sitting.
Just now,
time.
When you are told to walk slowly, what is the understanding of?
It makes you aware.
So it's make you, it's by attachment, wanting, craving to get results. No understanding of no self. So what is that?
But for me, it brings awareness. We do many
what
things.
What is awareness, please? We have to understand the word of the Buddha, not the other's words at all.
Well,
because the teacher doesn't say anything about the teachings of the Buddha. Just tell to walk, tell to sit, tell to think. What about that person's understanding?
But the understanding has to develop.
Okay.
Understanding
what?
Has to develop.
Understanding what?
Because many things we do in our daily
life, we're
not aware of what we really...
If there is an idea of you, it's not the elimination of what you take for you the whole life in samsara at all. Because it's you, all you. Sitting is you. You have to sit this position correctly or what is told, only to be told. No understanding. So what's the point that you gain, or you think that you will gain?
Eventually, the understanding
comes with the beginning. It has to be beginning, not eventually. So how?
But how will that work? Excuse me for
okay,
asking.
What
how
did
will
we
it
say?
Work? You cannot learn. You cannot read Shakespeare if you don't speak English. You know, you have to go step by step and learn the language.
Okay.
So you can move up, and eventually you will understand
but
this
you
medieval
listen
English. And the same is with everything
to
you
the others, Shakespeare and so on, not the Buddha's word.
No, but it is the same with the Buddha's word.
So what is the Buddha's word for
bit
meditation?
By bit by bit.
What's the Buddha word for meditation? To understand or not to understand, just being told to do.
Well, if you teach someone, you teach them simple exercises at first, and when they get those simple exercises, you move them
always
up to more difficult ones, and then in the end...
Always expectation, right? Expectation to go to where? Does anyone need to go to anywhere to gain knowledge? Can
if
it be
we
now?
We could just fully relax in the moment, then we could get there right away. But we humans are generally not able to do that.
All the way.
Excuse me?
Me, all the way. From the very beginning. No understanding of the words of the Buddha. But the other's word, right? How can you understand when you sit like being told?
Well, we cannot.
So
just
what did Buddha
relax
say?
Relax.
So like what did Buddha
instantly
say?
Instantly.
What did Buddha say?
Buddha taught meditation. Buddha meditated himself.
No, not at all. If there is no understanding, it's not Buddha's word.
But then how does the understanding develop?
Okay, the first is listening to the Buddha's word about reality right now. Because it's gone all the time. How can you understand it when there's no Buddha's word about whatever appears now? The absolute reality, no one.
And then one has to think that over and maybe meditate on it.
Pardon?
As well. For the understanding to deepen and to sink in, no?
She says that one needs to think that over.
No, the Buddha's word.
You mean thinking about the Buddha's word, right?
Okay, please, one word. What did Buddha say?
So what did the Buddha said is her question.
Just one word.
When you read the suttas that describe the enlightenment of the Buddha, and they say at the first watch, sati, the Buddha realized such and such, at the second watch, he realized such and such. Where do you get the idea that he was meditating? We don't know that he was meditating, but he was certainly contemplating because he understood this, different aspects of whatever is understood at enlightenment.
Ajahn, do you think the Buddha was contemplating?
What do you mean by contemplating?
Yeah.
It depends on reality, not just the word, and you just take it like you usually contemplate. So you think the Buddha contemplate the way you do. But it's not like that at all. That's why anyone who talk about Dhamma and then the word should be understood correctly, otherwise it's not the Buddha's word at all. So what is the word of the Buddha? Just one. Dhamma. Dhamma. We can use many words because we listen to many words, but when we talk about one word, there should be the clear comprehension of that word. And consider by yourself whether it's true or not. See, like Dhamma, what is Dhamma? Have you heard the word Dhamma? Have you heard the word Dhamma?
Of course.
It's the Buddha's word. What is it?
It's the right way to live and the natural law of the universe, how everything happens.
That is a mundane word.
That's a mundane word.
Right. Not the Buddha, us. See, so if there is no understanding of Dhamma, can there be, even use the word contemplate, can you contemplate on that? without the Buddha's teachings, the Dhamma, what is it?
Can you understand it without contemplating?
Because you see that what you say, does it bring about meditation? The way one's life, something like that? So what is the real meaning of the Buddha's word for Dhamma?
Would you tell us?
Yes, Ajahn. We can use the word Dhamma in two contexts. One is Dhamma meaning that which is real.
Is that what you know, learn from the Buddha's teaching? What is real is Dhamma. So,
yes, it is, for me it is the same as the law of the universe and the right way to live. That is what is real.
So do you need the teachings of the Buddha to understand the world? What is the world?
Well, the word can be, we're speaking in English language now, and Dhamma is
what
Pali,
about the
Dhamma,
truth?
Sanskrit word.
What about the truth? Is Dhamma true?
Yes.
So what is the truth of it?
The truth of it...
This is taught by the Buddha.
Yes.
Not anyone's at all. The Buddha himself. So if you don't know Dhamma, what's the use of meditating?
To find it.
Without hearing, listening to the teachings of the Buddha?
Well, mostly some teaching has been received already. That's what gets one thinking and gets one started with meditation in the first place. So a small amount, however, sometimes small, sometimes big, has already been there, and then one starts
to get interested
and tries to delve deeper into it. No?
Can anyone read or hear the teachings of the Buddha, listening to the teachings? Can anyone do that?
Can anyone read or hear the teachings of the Buddha? Of course.
So what is Dhamma? This is the word of the Buddha.
Well, again, the reality that we're about to discover, or hopefully
we'll
discover in parts.
Listening to the teachings respectfully, clearly, truly, can there be the understanding of the word of the Buddha? Because I use the word Dhamma. Anyone can say the word Dhamma. And Buddha taught us about Dhamma. What is the far apart, the one who is not Buddha, and just say Buddha, Dhamma. And when Buddha said Dhamma, not same level of understanding at all. So we have to learn very carefully, respectfully. Otherwise, it's one's own idea, like meditation. There must be three levels of understanding of the teachings.
But ma'am, still there's a like question that Dhamma means only the word which are the teachings of the Lord Buddha?
Just one word has many degree, level, and aspects. So now, just one word, Dhamma.
Ma'am, understanding? Realities? For me?
From the beginning to the end.
From that particular moment? This moment?
It can bring about the understanding of Dhamma up to the degree of Arahata. From the beginning, understanding that Dhamma, this word. It's not just word, because each Buddha's word represents the reality. Like Dhamma, if there's nothing, can there be Dhamma? If nothing arises at all, can there be world?
No, ma'am.
See? So each word represents Dhamma. So what is Dhamma?
Ma'am, Dhamma is understanding of that moment.
Dhamma is whatever is real.
Yes, ma'am. The moments are real.
Yes.
All the senses are real.
But
all the thinking is real.
Yeah.
This all is Dhamma.
Everything which arises, is it not real?
It's real. Which arises are real, ma'am. Mm. And which falls, if something has to be arise, then it has to be fall.
Yeah.
And it's conditioned.
And whatever is real, there must be its characteristic to be understood that it's real as it is. For example, seeing is real as it is. It doesn't belong to anyone. No one can make it rise. For example, while listening, they must be seeing all around. See, no one makes it rise. But it's there by conditions. One learns to understand the way Dhamma is, or Dhamma as it is. Because usually we take Dhamma and each reality for something. Is this Dhamma?
Hardness is Dhamma.
At moment of seeing, can you say that it's not real? But what is seen is not known as it is.
Yes, ma'am.
Before listening to the teachings of the enlightened one, the Buddha.
Ma'am, why the teachings are so complicated? It's not,
complicated. It's not complicated. Very deep and subtle. But it looks very complicated because so many things arise together and follow it together all the time. Like a magician, you don't know how that person works. But Dhamma arises and falls away much more than that. As soon as you close your eyes, everything which appears now disappears. See? But when one opens one's eye, everything appears at once. So one can understand it, how fast or rapid it is for realities which arises and falls away all the time together. Mm-hmm. Is it Dhamma? Is it real?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that Buddha taught the way to experience directly, no matter where and when? When right understanding develops to the degree that it conditions moment of understanding precisely, clearly, from hearing, considering the intellectual understanding, pariyatti, to patipatti, and to pativeda, realize the true nature of what is there now. And this can be anywhere, anytime, when understanding develops. It doesn't place, it doesn't need walking or standing to understanding this. That's wrong. That's not the word of the Buddha.
Ma'am, there is a normal saying that Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, Buddham Dhammam Gacchami, Sangham Sharanam Gacchami. Main Dham ki Sharan mein jata hun, Buddh ki Sharan mein jata hun, Sangh ki Sharan mein jata hun. Ma'am, what does these three refus means exactly?
Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. Okay. How do you understand that this moment is conditioned to arise? Because you see that it's there right now, seeing, hearing. You don't know the moment when it arises at all, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And who realizes that? Who enlightened that? And each word he taught can be studied carefully, and it's your own understanding. We use the word you are because there are different khandhas, and if we don't use any term like even Buddha said, Tathagata means him, not Ananda or Sariputta. See, so we have to use the word to express what's that. So it's your own understanding. Mm-hmm. Buddha cannot pass on his understanding to anyone, but he is the Samma Sambuddho, not Pajjika Buddho and not Savaka Buddho, because he had accumulated unbelievable conditions to become enlightened as Samma Sambuddho, who is better than anyone in this universe, not only this world. So what he said could be studied, investigated, to know whether it's true or not. Mm-hmm. So the more you understand the teachings, the more you see the Buddha as Samma Sambuddho, not anyone's word or anyone else at all. This is not my word. Each word which is real is the Buddha's word.
But does it mean that I am taking a refuge of the Sangha, Buddha and Dhamma?
No one at all. Only him. In samsara, not only this life. We pay respect to many people. Mm-hmm. As father, mother and so on, friends, good friends, mm-hmm. But not as hara as much as sammasambuddho. In samsara, you never heard these true words before. That can be proven anytime, any life, anywhere.
But ma'am, these three words are also known as the three jewels, three ratna.
Ratana. Because it's the highest ratana than other ratana. So what is ratana?
It's a jewel, ma'am.
The most precious thing. Mm-hmm. Is this ratana?
No, ma'am.
See? So each word of the Buddha's teaching is ratana. So if there's no Buddha, no Dhamma, and no Sangha, because Sangha is the follower of the teachings and studying and developing understanding. So what he taught can be developed to the degree of no kilesa anymore.
Yes,
from Bhuttuchana
exactly.
To Arahata.
Exactly, ma'am. So, he's the only one.
Those were not as valuable as Ratana, the highest one.
Yes, ma'am.
When you understand the teaching, you don't trade the understanding to anything else. No matter wealth or fame or whatever. Because that is to lessen, to eliminate kilesa, defilements. If you don't know defilement, you cannot eliminate defilement at all. Is that defilement now?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So by understanding this, we don't misunderstand that. There is no defilement now. Asava, we talked about it yesterday.
Yes, ma'am. One second. My question to ma'am was that, what does taking refuge means? Sabse important wala hai na? Theek hai. Isko tri ratna kyun bola jata hai? Ye tri ratna kyun hai? Kyunki Buddh, Sangha aur Dham.
And Sangha?
Sangha also, Buddha, Sangha and Dhamma,
both three. Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha.
I'm not listening to me also.
Because there must be his teaching, the way leading to the eradication of kilesa, before there can be Sangha, his Savaka.
Yes, ma'am. But ma'am, there is also one thing that why the Buddhist teaching is in the common education as in the institution organization among the people is known as it's a path of the middle way. Why it is, ma'am?
Please say again.
Ma'am, why it's middle way?
Middle way.
Buddhist teachings are the middle way. Why, ma'am?
Okay. So it's not the akusala reality which will lead to enlightenment. There must only those, the Bodhi Pakya Dhamma, which can lead to become to be enlightened. And so not all realities, only 37 reality.
So 37 chittas you are talking about.
Chittasika. Yeah. Because when we talk about middle path, it means that because of understanding reality that it's no lobha and there is no dosa. So usually there must be ignorance, not understanding what is here and now. So there must be lobha or dosa. But the middle path without lobha and dosa because of understanding only.
But moha, what about the moha one?
Moha is there because it's the original of all kilesa. So can you know moha now? Or can you begin to see even just a very slight lobha and dosa?
Ma'am, please. Ma'am, tell me something more about the moha.
Okay. Seeing has fallen away.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you understand seeing as it is? As yourself. It just arises to see.
Yes, ma'am.
If there is no such understanding as seeing, it's moha. Asava. There are four kinds of asava. Kamasava, attachment to sensuous object whenever it appears. And pavasava, clinging to the self, idea of I. No matter, say, there's no self, it's not you, but when it's not panya, their self at that moment, after seeing, hearing, whatever. So if I ask, is there a cure now? You say, no, they are different dhammas. But at moment of saying so, moha is there.
Okay.
With loba and wrong understanding.
It's there, loba and
wrong understanding. Because there are four asva. I pronounce asva. Yeah. The sensuous kamasava, clinging to the sensuous object. And pavasava, clinging to being. And clinging to the idea of self. You might not say that, oh, it's me, not you, or something like that. But it's the asva which is there, not just the word. When Panya does not understand that yet, there must be asva. After seeing three moments, there must be asva. So there are four, kamasva, puvasva, and thittasva, titti, and avichasva. See, avichha follows seeing, hearing.
Ma'am, there's a one, like in the very lot of the books, we read the one word when we study Buddhism, that is about the nature of happiness. Nature of happiness is something which are the pleasant moments, you can call it, ma'am.
That is for everyone who can understand, see.
When, ma'am,
when it's unpleasant moment, do you say that I'm happy?
Ma'am, nature of happiness means...
Ajahn said, when there is a pleasant moment, do we say I am happy?
Yes, but when it's unpleasant moment, can you say, I'm happy?
No.
So, happiness is real. Everyone knows, I'm happy. But it's not you. It's a reality, which is feeling.
Feeling.
So there are five kinds of feeling. You know that?
Five kinds of feeling.
Anger,
three no.
Yes, pleasant mental feelings, unpleasant mental feelings, pleasant bodily feelings, unpleasant bodily feelings. And there's neither pleasant nor non-pleasant feelings. Neither. Not neither body or... It's mental.
I mean mental because there's no body neutral feeling. Right, Ajahn? Bodily feeling is only pleasant or unpleasant.
Right.
And then there are three kinds of mental feeling, which is pleasant, unpleasant, and
neither,
neutral. Duk Dong might help.
But I think what Thanh Ajahn is saying is that normally when we feel happy, for us, we said that I am happy. And when we feel unhappy, we would say that I am unhappy. There's always an I. And also, these two characteristics of being happy and being unhappy is different. So there must be its own characteristics that can be known.
Does it mean that I is happy or I is unhappy? No one is happy and no one is not unhappy. How do you...
I think here we need to really study and understand the Buddha's teachings in terms of what is really happiness, what is really feeling. Is there an I? So when there's that characteristics of being happy or unhappy is known, it has its own characteristics. Whether there's I am happy or I am unhappy, that comes after those characteristics of being happy or unhappy. So those two are not the same.
I think you asked a very good question there about the nature of happiness, because we can see that happiness can be result by way of bodily feeling, but it also can be pleasant, happy feeling. But that often can be skillful or it can be unskillful, and that's not an easy area to understand. Perhaps what I'd like to understand Ajahn, would you please talk a little bit about, when we talk about happiness, we can talk about pleasant feeling by way of body experience, But we can also talk about pleasant feeling by way of mental pleasant feeling. Could you, Ajahn, talk about the difference between pleasant feeling that is skillful and pleasant feeling that is unskillful by way of tamma?
What do you feel now?
I feel very happy. Very happy. So I'm listening to
you. You can tell. If the happy feeling does not arise, can he say, I'm very happy? See, so the happiness is not I. Dhamma is Dhamma. Dhamma cannot belong to anyone at all. So at this actual moment of seeing, what kind of feeling is there? What kind of feeling?
Pleasant feeling.
Impossible. See, our thought and the Buddha's words are different. At moment of just seeing, it's conditioned to arise. Just one moment, nobody can know at all. Now when we think about seeing so many moments,
yes,
with
yes,
other moments or hearing in between. So without a teaching, one is lured by one thought. Mm-hmm. Seeing cannot be pleasant. It cannot be unpleasant because it is accompanied by 7 cetasikas and it's conditioned by kamma, and it just arises to see, not knowing what is seen.
Ma'am, now these people are even understanding the
deep. Yes, very good.
Asha is also happy.
So, can you say exactly what this moment is, pleasant or unpleasant or neutral?
Okay. This particular moment, ma'am?
Just
this
one.
This one. It's just seeing. It's just seeing.
No one can tell because it's gone without awareness.
Exactly, ma'am.
And
if
understanding.
If we talk, it's gone. Nobody can tell.
This is the theoretical knowledge or pariyatti. It has to be well known. Not just, oh yes, there is no self, there are such and such. But it's more exact. What is it? For example, the eye, the whole eye, can it see?
No.
What can be conditioned for seeing is only a particular rupa, unseen. Because what is seen has to be only that which impinges on the eye and conditioned seeing, but seeing only can see.
Thank you, ma'am. It was a very good explanation.
Because when we talk about Dhamma, we should talk about only this moment to really understand actually what they are not self at all. For example, we talk about the eye, the seeing, and the object of seeing. See, they are different. And it's this moment. Can anyone have one moment of seeing as its object? There are many moments of seeing right now.
Many, many.
Can anyone just experience or has only one moment of seeing?
No, ma'am.
No, not at all. Because the next moment, it has to be followed by a certain citta, anaranon. The right understanding cannot just follow immediately. So how rapidity the arising and falling away of realities are. So what appear is only the nimitta, the characteristic or the shape, the form of what is seen. For example, just a dot of rupa, a moment, is not known as something yet. Even one cannot be known as anything. But by many, many moments, that can be the understanding of that as nimitta of reality. Nimitta is shape or form or image of that which arises and falls away so very fast. Do you begin to see Buddha now? Much more than this. This is only the beginning.
This is only the beginning.
And he taught for 45 years.
Yes,
just
ma'am.
To understand this moment.
Ma'am, Buddhists talk a lot about being in the present moment. Doesn't that conflict with learning from past experiments and planning for the future, ma'am?
Many, many realities, uncountable. Because you think of just one moment, even one split second, shorter than that. Because as soon as I open my eyes, so many people without nimitta can be anyone or anything.
No, ma'am.
So can you count?
No one. No one also.
And never to return. This is samsara, to see the useless and benefit of taking realities for things and self. Mm-hmm. Because they're all gone in split seconds.
That movements are also gone. So how can you say like this?
Also, Kunakil, thinking about the past or planning for the future, that's done in the present. So that can be understood.
That is a question.
Yeah, what I'm saying though is that it's not in conflict with Dhamma to think about the future. That's not in conflict with the Dhamma because it's done in the present. I don't know if you... Yes, of course. So I was just making that point that people say that there seems to be a conflict, but there's not really a conflict at all because thinking is a reality which occurs in the present. Whether you think about the Buddha in the past or the Buddhas in the future, it's not in conflict with Dhamma. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. Nice explanation.
Can this be realized, what we're talking about, the arising and fall away of realities right now? Can this be realized?
At that moment.
Enlightenment.
This is the meaning
of enlightenment. If no one can become enlightened, Buddha didn't teach.
Yes, ma'am.
And this is what it's meant by bhavana, the development of panya, from hearing to direct awareness and to realization of the truth. But there cannot be the realization without the first and the second level. So what can be known, even in vipassanayana, what is known is only nimitta. Only nibbana, which does not arise, has no nimitta. So the untrue word, the false word, are not the Buddha's word. And so the meditation center destroys the teaching of the Buddha. So satya is one of the 10 parami, to be truthful, to be sincere to the truth. So the person who talks the word of the Buddha, who says the word of Buddha, might not be wrong for sure. And this is the way to keep the teachings for long. And anyone who helps the other to have right understanding cannot be wrong to help the others to understand the true words of the Buddha. So panya is very brave. See, it doesn't fear anything at all because it understands the truth. As the best thing, best reality is panya, so it's best to help the others to understand the teaching, the best thing in one's life.
Ma'am, merits are punya.
Punya.
Punya. It's due to karma?
What is karma?
Previous life.
Otherwise it's not clear when we just use the word and not a clear understanding of that word.
Actually, ma'am, I want to understand the merit at the present moment. How it's related with the present moment. Merits, how are related? I know that it's punya is there.
Okay. Is seeing merit?
No.
Is not understanding merit?
No, ma'am.
Is moment without lobha, dosa, and moha, is it merit?
Yes, ma'am.
I think that we have two words. One word is kusala, and the other word is punya.
Mm-hmm.
Kusala is wholesome moment when there is no lobha, dosa, moha, and the other kisritsa. But punya means that which can purify or eradicate defilements. So punya is kusala as well. But the other kind of kusala might not be punya. Like dana without understanding that it's not me, it's only the wholesome realities conditioned by accumulation, which conditioned that moment to give away things for the other's benefit. That is kusala. because no understanding. But when it's not me at all, it's just the moment when it's conditioned by accumulation, that is the way of punya, to purify and to have conditions to eliminate and eradicate defilement, the understanding.
Ma'am, more about dana I want to know.
Dana, just give away things for the others with sati. There must be sati with each wholesome citta.
A right mindfulness with the each wholesome citta.
Because we use the word mindfulness, but what is it?
Right understanding?
No. Mindfulness cannot understand. Each citta has its own characteristic and its own function. The 52 cetasika must be different.
Yes, ma'am.
So, at moment when one is not forgetful to give, that is sati, on dana, of dana.
A one moment in which one, ma'am?
At moment of giving away things or helping the others at that moment, there must be sati, because sati, wholesome cetasika, mm-hmm. Whenever it arises, it is wholesome, and it performs the function of dana and sila and so on, which is wholesome. Even when there is no giving away things, no helping the others, but citta at that moment is kind, see, because sati is there. So sati is the reality which is not forgetful to do, to perform, to be good.
Ma'am, it's always necessary that when you are doing the dana, the sati has to be there, and that time the wholesome...
Any moment of wholesome citta must have sati. Sati has to arise with each moment of wholesome, which can be kusla or kusla vipaka, and kriya varahata, not wholesome, not unwholesome.
Ma'am, which moment has to be kusla or akusla vipaka? I'm not able to get it, ma'am.
The kusla is the cause,
yes,
and the kusla vipaka is the result. So sati arises with both kusla,
yes,
and
ma'am,
kusla vipaka, and also arhatas kriya, which cannot be the cause anymore. But there must be wholesome cetasika arising with arhatas citta.
So, ma'am, this means that Arahata can also give dana? Arahata,
why not? You see, there are two kinds of dana things, wealth or whatever is given. It's amissa dana and dhamma dana.
Dhamma dana, maha dana.
See? So arahata can have dhamma dana, but not the cause for birth anymore. Arahata eradicates all good. Akusla, so no condition for birth to arise again. No more rebirth. No more life after death. When patisanthicitta arises, any kind of patisanthicitta, there must be ignorance, which is not wholesome. So for the others, there must be kusla moment and kusla vipaka and akusla moment and akusla vipaka, and only two kiriyajitas, the panchadvara, advertent consciousness arising before seeing, hearing, smelling, and the manodvara vachana, the mental advertent consciousness arises before kusla and akusla when it's mind or process. So dana is not just things,
dana
or any other thing, but it can be also dhamma. And what is best?
Dhamma.
Dhamma dana.
So it means, ma'am, Lord Buddha was a...
Right.
He has given so big dhan to the humanity.
But with kriyachitta.
With kriyachitta. I have to tell this thing in Hindi in a very long way.
Shabdanam dhammadanam jinnati.
Sabse bada dhan dhamma dana hai.
Shabdanam dhammadanam jinnati.
Sabvedanam dhammadanam jinnati. My biggest dan is a dhammadana.
Achan, dana is also like kunwani, that she comes to help Ajahn, right?
Yes, and also Abhayat Dana, another one, Abhaya, Abhayat Dana.
Yes, yes. Pardon, giving pardon. Yeah. No, it will, obviously.
Ma'am, in Buddhism, there's always one word, let go.
Yes.
What is it? That is I or ignorance?
Without panya, can there be letting go?
No, ma'am.
So it's not me or you or anyone can let go by oneself, by intention or whatever. It has to be panya itself, the only reality, which lets go. Akusala. Because it knows, it understands what is wholesome and what is unwholesome. But the person who still have unwholesome moment because they have no panya to know what is right and what is wrong. So only panya can letting go.
And for that there are many conditions and many...
Now are you letting go? Some level.
Yes, ma'am.
By pariyati. You let go the idea of self or meditation.
Okay. It means they are both, ma'am. Letting go, let go is the I also and let go is the ignorance also.
Depending on whether it is Lokutra or not yet.
Lokutra.
Yes, but before experience the Nibbana and Lokutra, there must be the development of letting go, wrong understanding from hearing, sati, investigating, considering very well. So, can you let go?
Yes, ma'am. I will let go. I will try to let go.
But can you?
No, ma'am.
Right.
No. It's condition.
It's letting go the idea of self. Little.
So what lets go? What lets go?
What's lets go?
What lets go, yeah.
If you cannot let go...
What does the letting go? Who does it? What does it?
What does the letting go? If you there's no self letting go, then what lets go? What is it that lets go?
That's I.
You can.
I'm not able to understand the things, yeah. What you're asking.
Can you let go? Can you?
No, ma'am.
Without understanding... what we are talking about now.
Understanding it, tabhi to jayega.
Nobody can let go, but let go can happen, right? Can
yes.
Let go. So what is the condition for letting go to arise? Is that the question? I think that's the question,
understanding,
right?
Understanding of the realities?
Well, that's correct. You're talking about it. So it's understanding that can let go, not what Ajahn is trying to, is helping you to understand, is that it's understanding that is able to let go, not I.
Sir, as a point to camera, sir, sir, please take the mic. It's a question to you. Sir, see there in the camera. Sir, are you Buddhist?
Correct.
Sir, how, well, please explain me how are you Buddhist, sir?
That's a good question. I like that question.
It has to come through conditions.
Because Ajahn is always reminding us about the reality that appears. Understanding the Dhamma as it is, that is being a Buddhist. The reality that appears, following the teachings of the Lord Buddha. The Lord Buddha spoke about realities. And how to understand those realities as they arise, not a person. This is not an easy area. I can say that I have gradually become a follower of the Dhamma, but it takes many lifetimes, in a way, to truly understand the Dhamma and to become what's called a true follower of the Dhamma, like when there is enlightenment. So in between times, for many, many lifetimes, we listen to the wise teacher. in actual fact, the word acharya means one who points the way. Acharya, one who shows the direction. So we need to listen to that wise person who talks the way. But there are many people who call themselves acharya or achanantai. But are they pointing in the right direction? That's what we have to find out. And through wise consideration and wise reflection over millions and millions of lives, understanding can grow. So the short answer to your question, a Buddhist is not a person mm-hmm. in reality. They are moments of understanding. Yes, conventionally we can say there are samutti, your conventional Buddhists, mm-hmm. but like we were talking about the other day with the Sangha, there is samutti Sangha and Aryan Sangha, and they are different. So we have to understand the difference between what is real and what is not real. And that comes down to this present moment. Ajahn is always reminding us all about Dhamma can be understood and made to grow by learning what is correct pariyatti, which is application of the knowledge that has been learnt to the present moment. But that takes time. Yeah.
You said if you are having the understanding of Dhamma, you are having the understanding of Dhamma and you are practicing it to understand.
With the help of Ajahn, who has shown the way to everybody in this room here with incredible patience. Over a long time, she's had much patience to us. So the understanding of Dhamma is very gradual and it takes time unless there is a good teacher. Literally, and I talked about that word the other day, in your old ancient Indian traditions, the word Upanishads, which means literally to go up close to and sit down, like we're doing today. Mm-hmm. In Pali we have the word upadisidati, which means to go and sit down close to. That's how wisdom is developed, by going up close to and sitting down. That's what the old Upanishads were about.
Ma'am, like, what are your views about a Buddhist view? Real, ma'am? Reality?
My view? See the truth of the teachings of the Buddha and respect the Buddha as Sarana.
Mm-hmm. Seeing the teachings are more important than
which perfect. Means understanding.
Of that particular moment? The realities?
Even right now, can it be known?
No.
When there are conditions, whatever can arise, only by conditions.
Ma'am, it means that a person who are having the understanding of the words of the Lord Buddha and they are trying to understand it, those are only Buddhist.
Can anyone be Buddhist without understanding the teachings of the Buddha?
No, ma'am.
And how can there be the understanding to know who's the Buddha? Only from studying, understanding his words. And the person who does not understand the teachings of the Buddha, or who just do what Buddha didn't say, can that person be the Buddha?
No. Many people are like Buddhists, really only in name only. It's just a name. I say, I'm a Buddhist. But what does that word really mean, to become a Buddhist? Like we know, and people have commented here in the past about that fellow Wakkili, who just followed the Buddha around, and the Buddha said that very famous phrase, so mam pasati.
Who sees me sees the Dhamma, and yes. One who sees the Dhamma sees me.
Correct.
And now there's a question for ma'am, Betty ma'am. You speak English very good. I like your English. ma'am, how could one understand its own defilements, ma'am? His own defilements, ma'am.
Only through understanding,
ma'am. So, ma'am, defilements are the only feelings?
Sorry?
Only feelings are the defilements?
No, they are jetasikas that are defilements. Yeah.
Ma'am, chetasikas are defilements?
Yes, there are jetasikas that are defilements.
I want ma'am point of view. Ma'am, please tell us about the defilements.
I always remember what all of them are. I have to look up. But basically, it's all these negative behaviors that are jetasikas that prevent understanding from arising. That are basic to part of the idea of greed and anger and delusion. All of those things that come under greed, anger, and delusion are defilements.
So, ma'am, it means that not understanding the Dhamma is also defilement?
I think they give you a list of 10, and I have to look up the list.
Not understanding is ignorance, which is also a defilement.
Ma'am, please. Asa?
If you haven't heard the teachings at all, no one can talk about defilements. Who knows that from birth to death, one speaks the word that one doesn't know at all? Like defilement, see?
Yes.
Or citta, see? Or being?
No.
Every word is not unknown. Is not be known if there is no understanding of the teachings at all. There's only idea. See, just think by myself. What is this? Is not is that? And explain in many ways, many scientific. But who knows the absolute truth that anyone can understand from considering the words of the Buddha? For example, no self. One has to understand what is the self in order to understand what is no self. That is no self. If there is no understanding of what one takes for self, there cannot be understanding the no self.
To ma'am, that is also defilement.
What is defilement? Unwholesome realities. And no one knows whether there is an wholesome moment or not now. For example, looking at this, is it wholesome or unwholesome?
Nobody can.
Who knows without the teachings of the Buddha? It's unwholesome. Because you don't know what is seen, you take it, a glass is seen. There's no understanding of that which is seen as it is. Only the reality that can be seen. Dosa cannot be seen. Everything cannot be seen. Hardness cannot be seen. Can you see hardness?
No.
Okay. What do you touch? No understanding of that is touch. People think that I touch a table. Just live in the world of ignorance. From birth to death in samsara. So this is the way to understand and respect the Buddha, the enlightenment.
So Ajahn is saying that through touch, one cannot know a table. One can only know harness, or right?
And no one.
And there's no one knowing.
Excuse me, Khun Akhil, you also asked, you know, another way of saying the defilements, rather than look up the 10 jetasikas, okay, are we term things as kusala and akusala, okay? So we have to know what are kusala behaviors and what are akusala behaviors. Mm-hmm. So basically the kusala behaviors are bhavana, i.e. studying the Dhamma, going on the path of mental development, doing dana, good, giving, generosity.
That is also kusala.
Yes. And what's the third one? Bhavana, generosity, and following sila, doing sila, and doing the precepts. So beyond that, and of course doing those with understanding, that's considered kusala. Everything else is akusala. So when we understand that, and there's no control when as to which, whether kusala or akusala jetasikas are going to arise in the mind. But the more we can recognize what kind of behaviors are kusala, the more there will be conditions for kusala behavior to arise, to do. And then the same thing works the other way. The more akusala conditions there are for akusala to arise, the more it's going to arise.
Can I ask Thanachan a question,
please?
Thanachan was saying that right now there's seeing, and without studying the teaching, we do not know yet whether this is wholesome or unwholesome. Therefore, that ignorance itself of not knowing what is wholesome or unwholesome, that itself is defilement. So yes. Ignorance is defilement. And this is what the samsara is about.